As we begin, Sharon is bringing us a word from Psalm 37, verses 30 and 31, which spoke to her personally as she was doing her homework. I hope that you're enriching your experience of this Bible study by downloading the homework from the website. God honors our dedication with His faithfulness. He meets us where we are, so don't worry if you're not ready to tackle the homework. Just be encouraged that when you are, He goes with you through His Holy Spirit, deeper into the Word and your understanding of it. Today is our last segment from the session, Why Is It Important to Know the Bible? Next time, we'll begin a new session and new homework for you to chew on. Don't forget, we would love to hear from you on the blog found at the bottom of the homepage, studywithfriends.org. Share your insights with other listeners. This Bible study is a fellowship broader than those of us around the microphone. I hope you'll join us there, but for now, let's study here.
When I was going over my study, I was led to Psalm 37, and Psalm 37, verses 30 to 30, I guess 2 or 3, says, "The mouths of the righteous utter wisdom, and their tongues speak what is right. The law of their God is in their hearts. Their feet do not slip." Mm-hmm. So when we carry that His word in our heart, it prevents us from, we're still going to slip, mm-hmm. but that's our key.
And as we mature, we slip a little less. I think God has been faithful to helping me be sensitized through His Holy Spirit that lives in me over time to hearing Him while He's still whispering, whereas 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I was ignoring Him until He was screaming in ways that I was falling completely off the path and then realizing I was so messed up and coming back. Whereas as I've experienced that time and time again, I slip less. So you're right. We slip a little, but God's faithfulness to not let us completely slip. Yeah, that's a good one. I wrote that down. Who has 2 Timothy? Oh, can you have that. Can
I
you
do.
Repeat it? Thank you.
2 Timothy 3:16-17. "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work."
So the question I specifically wanted to attack on that as we took it from one perspective a few minutes ago when you read it the first time, and I want to wrap up with it by talking about why it's important to know the Bible. Before we accomplish that desire, before we can really embody that longing for knowing the Bible, is it helpful if we believe that it is really all God-breathed? And I'm wishing for Annette right now, because or an Annette type who would say, is it really all God-breathed? Because I think in this room we all agree, and sometimes it's that doubter, seeker, that we need to remind us, do I really believe every word in this Bible? Or just do I believe that mostly it's God's instruction manual? And I want to talk about that for just a few minutes, and I want to throw it out to you guys. And so it's two parts to the question. Do we believe whether every single word in here is God-breathed? And how could different interpretations of this verse, i.e., I believe most of it is, or I believe all of it is, how can that impact our everyday life? So the question first, do we believe it? Or do we know people that don't necessarily think every single word is, yes, this is a good book of teaching things. It's a good instructional book. It's a good, the prophets were good for instructing, and Jesus was a good teacher. There's certainly some people who feel friendly towards the Bible, if you know what I mean, not adversarial, who don't totally believe that every word of it is God-breathed. And maybe not all of us believe every word of it is God-breathed, so I want to lob that out to you guys. What are your thoughts?
This could go off on such a tangent, but
that's okay.
I have a constant internal struggle, which my church leader is well aware of, and yet he still allows me to teach CCD, because it's kindergarten. And my struggle is, yes, I do believe that it's all God-breathed. However, why, as a Catholic, do I have more books? And why do I have... Why did leaders many years ago get together and toss out some books? Were there those books? Were those books God-breathed? This is what's going on in my mind, and it's been for years. And it's a constant conversation that... I have with fellow Catholics and fellow Christians. You know, it's one of those things of, you know, when you get those questions of, we have these little conversation starters with my boys, these Barnes and Noble, you know, thing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things is, if you could hang out with three famous people who are dead in your kitchen, who would they be? And of course, my boys have, but Owen and I, my oldest, both said Jesus and Benjamin Franklin and Abraham Lincoln, you know, George Washington, but Jesus, because I really want to sit down and
say, I have a few questions. Yeah.
Here's my study Bible that I bought. Here's my Catholic Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the big old Catholic. Like, I want you to tell me, and by the way, let's talk about Mary. And let's talk about Mary Magdalene. Like, mm-hmm. I want to get there.
You'll get a chance.
And yeah, but the, you know, so that's, I don't know Annette, you know, but I feel like I'm one of those people where I say, yeah, I do believe that it's most of it.
Maybe. Let me tell you who Annette is, and I'll have to ask for permission probably. I don't know. She was in a study that we did, the mm-hmm. study of the Bible. It was supposed to be the Bible in a year. We did like 2.5 years. We took our time. We right. marinated in it a little bit. And Annette, during the course of that time, was not yet saved, had not yet made a mm-hmm. commitment to Jesus Christ, and was maybe the most faithful of the group,
mm-hmm.
did all her homework, but came unafraid to be like, I'm not buying this,
right. man.
What's the deal with that? And it was awesome. And she would always mm-hmm. apologize. I'm sorry, I feel like I'm taking us on that. Mm-hmm. We loved it. Because it forced us all to look at those questions. That's a great question you just said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask the ladies if they want to take it, and then I'll tell you my answer for that question.
I could speak to that briefly, at least for myself. I do happen to believe that all of this Bible is God-breathed. Does that mean that I believe the way it's written is exactly the way that something happened?
Mm.
I think I take Jesus' cue from the way he spoke in parables. Was there really a Samaritan who was laying by the side of, you know, that helped somebody laying by the side of the road? I don't know if that actually happened.
Right.
But I know that it represents something that God wants us to know, and so that Jesus himself was inspired to pass that story on. That, to me, the God-breathed
mm-hmm.
part of it is the inspiration. You know, God has inspired the writing of that. He inspired the prophets. He literally breathed that word to them so that they would share his warnings with the people of their world.
And isn't there encouragement?
And encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
I won't get it right, so I'm not even going to try about how the canon of Scripture came
mm-hmm.
to be collected, what year it was,
mm-hmm.
and which pope it was,
mm-hmm.
and all that. I think I know, but I'm not going to mm-hmm. quote anything. But I have to trust that the process of doing that was influenced greatly by the Holy Spirit as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so the choices of those
mm-hmm.
books was inspired by God. And why were some left out? Have you read any of the books that have been left out of the
Bible?
Pieces.
Mm-hmm. And
have you?
And,
yes.
Yeah.
I don't have any trouble reading some of the books that were not included in the Bible as we know it today, to say, whoa, no question in my mind why that didn't get
really
included. Yeah, some of the there's other gospels and things
in
like
the Catholic
that.
Books?
No.
I was gonna say
that were considered by,
you mean like the Gnostic gospels?
Yes. That were considered but rejected from the canon of scripture.
Have you read any of the Catholic books that
have some. Okay. I've read, not studied. And so I think that kind of falls into another category. Those books seem to me, and I'm not Catholic, so you would have to answer that, they seem to speak to the liturgy, the doctrine,
the Catholic doctrine
of Catholicism. They don't contradict what's in scripture.
I think it, well, the one, and I'm really not good at this, is one thing that we, as Catholics, maybe they've changed it, but even though I had 12 years of education, we don't get into the meat other than the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John so much.
Right.
Revelation and, you know, creation. And
right.
However, I know the big component is one of our big differences with other doctrines, in that confession is a sacrament, and the whole logistics of how that went down. And but it's interesting because we talk more, I'm jumping ahead, but part of, I guess, my struggle is it's a challenge to me to get more into it and to educate myself, and I am so I'm blown away that you've gone that step, you know, further than the average person, and you've gotten into things that aren't this, you know, you've educated yourself.
Well, because I had those questions too.
Right. Well, so, and that's where I feel like I need to do that, because not only that, but jumping back to your point earlier of knowing the word, I find that even in our leaders, any leaders, anywhere, any religion, I'm sure, you know,
Every denomination
has this, where you will have followers and leaders, especially speaking to confession in the Catholic Church, where you will just pull what you want to pull from the book. So,
out of context.
Yeah.
Which is why it's important to don't just read the verse. Don't just know the address, know the neighborhood. That's what I say.
That's good.
Yeah. And in some of the scripture we've read today, and certainly repeatedly throughout scripture, there are warnings about that. The struggles that we have discerning what is the gospel, what is God's word, what is from a false prophet, we're not the first to struggle with this.
Yeah.
The warnings are from the very beginning of God's word, all the way to the very last chapter of Revelation says, don't mess with this word.
Don't mess with it.
Don't mess with my word.
Yeah.
So God gave us those warnings right from the beginning to the very end. It is good for us to have that struggle, to say, is this of God? Is this God's true word? Am I interpreting this correctly? You know, praying about it, seeking the counsel of others, go to people whose interpretation of scripture you trust, that they have authority. Do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Don't just read some little snippet of scripture and say, oh yeah, got that. I'm good. I'm all good. No, you're not. And just do it. That God is calling us over and over to do that. But to be aware, the false prophecies are out there. They're out there. In the book of Jude, it talks about they're going to grow up right from amongst us in the church. These are people who are educated in God's word.
Charismatic.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Satan was a pretty charismatic, scripture-knowing
dude.
Creature. But not to be trusted.
Right.
So
right.
You have to let the Holy Spirit that is in you make that final analysis. When it doesn't set right, listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to that.
The world says trust your gut, but we say trust the Spirit that lives in you.
Yeah.
And it's in there. And I'm glad that you said that, because you had said prior to that, talk to people you trust, research it. But at the end of the day, God tells us the Holy Spirit will instruct us. And does anybody else want to cope with her question? Okay, so I'm going to add to what Sue said a couple things. First of all, and foremost for me, the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. When I invited Jesus Christ to live in my heart, he took residence in my heart and hasn't left me and will not forsake me. And is he by everything he's done through history shows that he has a personal interest in my personal relationship with him. That it's very much like you and I. Mm-hmm. Like you and I go a long way back. Mm-hmm. And I have a personal interest in making sure that you're right with the Lord and that your understanding of Scripture, because I love you. Mm-hmm. And you have a personal interest in me knowing the same, because we trust each other.
Yes.
So that's how God means for us to be with him. And we should never forget that. And so that's a good segue to me, because I have to tell you, one of the books that I struggle with that we all agree on is Esther.
Mm.
The historical books are harder to nail down as God breathed and useful for instruction, teaching, and preaching, because to me, it's just a historical story.
Right.
I struggle, and I taught a 20-week study on Esther, but I still, if I have to take one book out of the Bible, or let's be honest, Song of Solomon, it's a little racy. I'm like, but you know what? Faithful struggle with, you read it? You read it? Go get it. Read it before bedtime with your hubby. Struggling through that, I understand where so much of the rest
blushing,
of the Bible...
We're all blushing.
I'm not... Miss Caroline's fanning herself. I have, through struggle, like Sue just said, the reason I know that is because I've had those same questions. Through struggle, I understand now all these other places where, especially Paul, cautions against sexual immorality and says really strong statements about sexual purity. If we're raised right, there's a little bit of fear, a little bit of reverence around sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And Song of Solomon reminds us that our sexuality is one of God's gifts to us, and that we don't need to feel
weird
about it.
But to be shared with your betrothed.
With your husband.
Your husband, yeah.
But so once I get that there's a context for my sexuality, then I can read Song of Solomon and say, oh, this is a beautiful gift for intimacy with my husband. And this is how we should feel about each other. And it's uncomfortable, a little bit uncomfortable having that conversation in mixed company, even around the table. You guys are blushing. But it took, and so I'm thinking, how
especially
is that?
When he compares
God
to
breathed.
A cedar tree.
Yes, and he talks about her body, he talks about her breasts. And I think to myself, how is that God's word? That feels like the antithesis, because we're raised in this culture that if you are godly, you are not sexual.
Yeah.
And that I love that God put Song of Solomon in the Bible, because he reminds me that I can be godly and also be sexual, because that's a gift he gave me. So it's through struggling through that question that I'll find the answer, because God is faithful. The Holy Spirit inside me is faithful. And God wants, you know, I can't think of the passage, but it says God is not far from us. He wants to be found. So if you have these questions, he wants to answer them, and he honors the struggle between you and him as you wrestle with it. He loves that. Jacob wrestled with God. Mm-hmm. That doesn't bother him. Mm-hmm. Let's do this. You know, I think he really honors and loves when we use all the gifts he gave us, our intelligence, our inquisitiveness, and we seek him with those things.
Yeah.
So having said that, the other example that I'll give you is, there's two more. One, let's talk about Moses for a minute. Moses had a few missteps. he hit the rock with his staff, and God said specifically to do something else. And Moses got in trouble. So we can trust that what I said a few minutes ago with my personal experience, that God's heart for his people will not be overcome by the sinfulness of his people. So when God provides for us his word, human nature is not going to overcome that by including stuff that shouldn't be included. So I know there are 7 books that are in the Catholic, mm-hmm. and it's my understanding that many of them are historical, not unlike mm-hmm. Esther. So for me, it's not so much of a rub, because I know that God will be sure the people are corrected, even if the leaders mm-hmm. make a misstep, like mm-hmm. like he did with Moses. Mm-hmm. And of course, there are consequences to the leader mm-hmm. that takes a misstep, and that's part of it. And then the last example I want to give you is one of my favorites, which is the Dead Sea Scrolls, which weren't discovered until 1947. And to me, an inexplainable example of how God will preserve his word. That, because I guess a piggyback to this is all scripture God breathed, is another question, which is, how can we be sure we're reading the true translation right. that he intended mm-hmm. so many translations ago?
Right.
And so to me, he's still God.
Yeah.
He's doing his thing. He's protecting his word. He's not allowing those of us who are seeking after him, he's not going to allow us. He protects us. He's not going to allow us to go too far down the path of misinformation without making sure that he preserves his word, both in the world and within us. Mm. Does that help?
Yeah.
I love the Dead Sea Scrolls. Did you go see mm-hmm. them when they were at the Franklin? Mm-hmm. Oh my God. That was like 10 years of church in one night for me. And I was mm-hmm. so thankful that I took the kids down, because Sophia, I get very emotional about the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City. And I get in there, especially in the Impressionist wing, and I cry. My kids think I'm crazy, and I am. But I say to them, this is where the paintbrush hit the canvas. Like, that right there. Mm-hmm. The painter put his brush on the canvas, and there it is. Mm-hmm. And took them a while. They're like, what? Okay. You know, that's weird. Stop crying. I don't know you. But then we went to the Dead Sea Scrolls, mm-hmm. and Sophia said to me, Mom, that's where the pen touched the scroll. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, that God preserved mm-hmm. it against all odds mm-hmm. in a harsh environment.
Yeah.
You should read about it, because mm-hmm. I think it would minister to you. I have a little book upstairs.
And revealed it at
time just the right time.
That the whole world could know about it,
uh-huh.
not 100 years
even
earlier.
Even on specific dates in
mm-hmm.
Hebrew history. Like, it is mm-hmm. amazing. If you read the whole story of the Dead Sea Scrolls
okay.
and the people who interpreted it and the people who unfolded it, there was a particular, I can't remember, there was a particular Jewish holiday that they rolled out the scroll for the first time, and it spoke to that act, and it was the day of the holiday.
Mm.
Just like
mm-hmm.
God means for us to be protected as we seek after him. And so, as much as your question is valid, and I don't totally have a buttoned up
yeah.
with a bow answer to it, what I do know is what I said earlier. I know my God, and what he's done for me personally, and what he's done in the world with his word, I can trust that. He's not going to let us go too far off the mark. And so I don't worry about those 7 books too much.
Yeah.
They're not in the denomination that God has placed me, so I haven't sought after them with an aggressive seeking, because I feel like God put me in the time and place where I'm supposed to
mm-hmm.
be, and he gave me what I'm supposed to have. But I feel that same way for you.
Right.
So I feel sure that if God intends to be revealed in those 7 books, he will reveal himself to you in those 7 books. In the same way that he's revealing himself to us right now as we're sitting around his word, as
mm-hmm.
we talk to each other in fellowship. So, I don't know, maybe that's a cop-out that I say I don't worry too much about those 7 books.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that, like, the Gnostic Gospels got tossed out. And
mm-hmm.
the ones that really... So God, you know, through the canons, because there were a few...
Mm-hmm.
God has made sure, in the same way that he protected the Dead Sea Scrolls,
like
God has protected
right.
his word and inspired people after the writings, inspired folks
mm-hmm.
who he gave authority to preserve his word. So that's my answer. I hope it's somewhat satisfying. But I do think that if that when we have questions that burn on us, it's the Holy Spirit that's putting the burning. Mm-hmm. And he wants you to come meet him in that place, and let's dig it up together is what he's saying to you. He's like, let me show you.
Yep.
Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Mm-hmm. And I love that command because it says, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Call to me.
Mm-hmm.
Come meet me on this. Let's sit down and talk about it. Let me show you. I will answer you. So that's my... Each of us has different questions that burn us up. Like, I'm telling you, that Witch of Endor thing, for years, I was burning on that question. And I would ask church leaders. There was a nun that came to my sister-in-law's house for a birthday party. I was like, I need to talk to you about something. I had to hold up my Bible. I mean, it's marked. It's still marked in my Bible. And I was like, what is the deal with the Witch of Endor? Nobody could give me a satisfying answer. Because the truth of the matter was, God wanted to meet with me on it. And I just didn't give him the chance. I was like, I don't get it. I need to ask somebody else. And when I finally came back around and said, no one else has the answer. I know you have the answer, God. I'm just going to sit here until we get it together. I'm just going to be patient. Because it was burning me up. It went against everything I felt that the Bible, you know, you go find it if you're interested in it. But I think that God puts different fires in us because he, you know, that's the part of the personal relationship. What's a fire in you is not what's in a fire for someone else. You had something you wanted
to say. There's one of those that I have researched a little bit, and just to find out that kind of no preacher has ever preached on it because nobody knows what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's after the, I think it's right after Christ appears to the 500. All the souls, all the bodies come up from the ground and they go into the town, and that's it. It leaves you with this like one little
sentence. What verse is that?
Hanging. It's in any of the Gospels. That I think it, probably in Luke.
So you were burning up on that.
Well, I wasn't burning about it, but it was really puzzling. Yeah. Like, why? I've never heard about these dead bodies walking around town that appeared to
look that up too.
People. And even the footnote in my study Bible said, yep, pretty much nobody knows what this means. You're never going to hear a sermon preached
on
this.
That's kind of what the footnote in my Bible says about the Witch of Endor. Yeah. It says in mine, there are several different interpretations of this verse.
Yes, yes.
And that's their way of saying, we're just not sure. And you know what? I'm gonna say again, I don't want to worship a God that I can fully understand.
Yeah.
And so that may sound like a cop-out, and that's okay, because I stand firmly on the fact that I am a thinker and a seeker. And if someone wants to think I'm copping out, that's okay, because in my heart, I'm secure in myself.
Not.
I'm not. But there's a place where my brain has to stop and my faith has to start. And I have to, that's why it's called faith. If we could figure it all out, it wouldn't be faith, it would be knowledge. Okay, I'm totally looking that up. All right, do we have more that we want to say, or should I wrap and close us in prayer? Okay, I'm going to close in prayer. I don't even know what to say. I just have to worship you, Lord, that you are so huge. I am in awe of you, and I praise you that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are El Shaddai. You are so many things that we can't conceive, and we seek you and only find there's so much more that we don't know. And thank you for honoring the prayer that I put at the beginning, which is that you would light a fire with us, that you would help us to long for you and yearn for you. And I just want to spend the rest of my day in the Bible. And so thank you for meeting with us here today, Lord. And I pray that we would all be ministered to, and that the listeners would be ministered to, and that this Holy Spirit fire would catch among all who seek you over this material today. And I thank you that you promise to be faithful to us. And Lord, I just love you. And so we just worship you and we praise you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I love Caroline for being so real with her questions about the content of the Bible. I love to challenge our thinking and our faith. I think God loves it when we search hard to understand him.
A big part of understanding is questions. Now seems like a good time to say I won't always have the answers. I'm not a Bible scholar, so if that's what you're looking for, I recommend R.C. Sproul. I really like his teaching style. But if you're looking for a group of women with some of the same questions and struggles that you have, some of the same joys and sorrows, then this might be a good Bible study for you. The passage I referenced in this segment is Acts 17:27. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. My prayer remains that this Bible study will be a tool in your seeking and finding a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See you next time.